All right, we're back. Chosen Explained. Wrap up season six and talk about all the different things.
Episode six,
and all the different things that have happened so far on The Chosen season three. Freedom Ochoa here with us for the first time, man. It's been really cool to hang out with you and talk about The Chosen, man.
Come on, man.
Why do you like The Chosen?
I mean, I'm a big visual person, you know, so I just I feel like whenever you can paint a picture of something that you've seen, like, you know, part of my testimony is, you know, I saw The Passion. You know, I wasn't a believer, and whenever I saw The Passion, it just gave the story life, because I got to see it with my own eyes and was just like, oh my gosh, this is a person that really did this to me, or did this for me. You know, he deserves everything. So I just think with this, it just, they had me at the, whenever I remember watching on my phone the little trailer for The Birth of Jesus that they did, and I was like, oh my gosh, that was, it was just so good. And I was like, man, I'm looking forward to this season.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And have you had the issue like we have had in the past when we started telling her, because we had Dallas on our podcast 3 years ago or something at this point.
I remember. Season one.
It was, they hadn't even, like,
season one first four episodes.
The first four episodes were the only things that were done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, they didn't have a million followers on YouTube yet. Mm-hmm. Or none of that, you know, the show had not, and I'm telling everybody, go watch this show. It's the best thing you've ever seen.
So late,
and everybody's like, and I still run into this. I'm still telling people about The Chosen. They're like, haven't seen it. I'm like, what?
I know. Where are you? Where are you living?
The worst I get is the people that I was telling them about The Chosen now come to me. Have you seen this Chosen?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, hello? I was telling you about this. You didn't listen to me. It went in one ear out the other because Kevin's just flapping his lips about another Jesus thing.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you see.
Well, you did like Left Behind with Kirk Cameron. But yeah, right. I mean, the amount of press I gave this personally to the people in my circle to just continually see those walls go up about Jesus shows. And it leaves, in my opinion, that we have just done such a bad job. And I'm talking about Christians, not the three of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a whole, of creating good Christian content for people to watch. You know, like you had mentioned PureFlix off the air to me. You know, it's like we support these things and we love these things, but we haven't done a great job at mass producing things that just everybody loves to watch. Maybe it's because we're not talking about Jesus enough. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're trying to create a story about Tim who, you know, started a cheese factory and is trying to take all the kids to the youth group meeting or whatever these PureFlix movies are all about. I don't know if you've ever seen any of these, but
that is a storyline for one of them somewhere. I know, I'm sure.
I think the real reason, if I could put my finger on one thing, the difference between The Chosen and all the other stuff is that this really was not done in the flesh. Like everything from the beginning of this was supernatural. The spirit of God was on this, on Dallas. I mean, it wasn't his idea, you know, he was trying to go down a completely different track and it bombed and he just happened to do this to bless, you know, the shepherd doing for his, it wasn't like he had come up with this great idea on his own flesh. And even like, you know, season two and the miracle of just getting the funding for season one.
Yeah.
He never believed, I don't think. I mean, he said that he would, that kind of money would come in and that he would break all the rules.
He sort of scoffed at the whole crowdfunding thing.
Right. Right. And God would just kept showing up because it was God that was doing this. It was the anointing that has created this Chosen. There was no one man with someone great, you know, that can take credit for this. This is all to the glory of God. And, But he found a man like Dallas and those that are, you know, that have been partnered with Dallas that were humble enough to say, hey, you know, this doesn't make sense, but let's go for it because I think God's in this.
So my pastor had said something this past Sunday and was talking about how he doesn't put our statement of faith on the website. He said because what can tend to happen is people are looking for things.
Yeah, they're looking what you don't have.
What they don't agree with. And I think that's what happens with The Chosen is so many movies that they've watched their Christian movies like, oh, this doesn't line up. And they get so worried like, oh, this is going to be another movie that goes against this. That's not what I like. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I just think, you know, that's why so many people, we hear about it later and be like, look, man, you know, yes, it goes over the Bible. Is everything that's going to be on the show biblical? No, but like go for visual and the experience of like just the acting, everything in it, I just think is good quality. And I think that it deserves a watch for any believer. You know, it's something good to, like, I've had my kids sit down and watch it for me or with me, man. And it's, they're like, oh man, like the fish scene cast on the other side like that. It brings it to life, man.
Brings it to life. Yes. It answers questions. It helps you understand the story when you can see the environment and the people they're interacting with. And, you know, you hear a parable or you hear a story in the Bible and it's just like a couple paragraphs, but then they stretch it out and they've got the surrounding characters. And it really, for me, that was one of the things that I was just like, oh, this is like bringing the Bible, not just off the page, but like giving me an understanding of the scriptures that I've read so many times in a way I had never had before. And so like now it's a teaching tool. It's an evangelistic tool. It's a, it's all these different things, you know, it's entertainment. It's got, you know, it's emotional. It's dramatic. It's funny at times, you know, not all their jokes have landed on.
I know, right?
You know, the stuff with the kids, or not with the kids, my kids couldn't watch, you know, when they're knocking on the door and they're putting pillows over their ears and making sex jokes and stuff, you know, like we didn't need all that, but you know, but I you can't, not everything's perfect, right? But this show has done a great job of just ushering in, like you said, Kevin, the Spirit of God, and he's behind this 100%. And so God's got a sense of humor, and you know, and we're all just trying to figure out what God's saying to us. And I mean, a tough job Dallas and the team has here, right? So we're taking the story of Jesus and we're presenting it to do justice. And now what do we know to be a mass audience, right? So everybody's going to have an opinion, as this show is apparent of. Like, the three of us have an opinion. We want to share it with other people. You know what I'm saying? So imagine that times 20 million, or how many people, you know, how many people have watched the show? They say like a billion people.
Half a billion or something.
Yeah, half a billion have watched this. And that's, those are crazy numbers. You know, it's like, so what do you do as a filmmaker when you, I can't imagine the pressure, you know? I feel pressure. Sometimes I got to talk to somebody about my testimony or whatever the thing is. You know, you want to pray for somebody you never met before. Imagine making a TV show that you know everybody you know in every church you've ever been to or ever even thought of in every state, in every country, across the universe is going to watch this show that you're making.
Well, that's the trick, isn't it?
It's
the pressure is that there, if you really just hand it over to God and you know that you're just completely relying on him and this is his project, this is his, you know, anointing on it, then, you know, and I know it's, the Christian is easier said than done, but that's really like the thing that we will, no matter what we're putting our hands to, if we can just let go and let God and not let that pressure get to you. And that's the trick. That's the trick with anything in life. When you're doing something for the Lord and doing the Lord's work is, you know, when is it you and when is it God? And you knowing where you end and God begins, and you just stay in that spot where you do what God's called you to do and only what God's called you to do, and then you leave the rest up to him. And you can be able to, at the end of the day, say, God, I gave you everything I had. Now you gotta, it's up to you to do the rest.
Yeah, at the same time, they had to fight through faith to even have a place to shoot and all these different things they've been believing for in the sense. But here we have a completed season now. We're about to watch it in theaters or on your app in a couple days or a couple weeks, depending on when you're watching this. And so for you, Freedom, like the first six episodes of season three, you know, what's your big takeaways from this roller coaster ride we've been on?
Oh my gosh, like there's just so much stuff that came unpacked in this season that, you know, every time, whenever like season one, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the awesomest thing. And then season two, I was like, oh my gosh, you guys got to see season two. I know like you want to watch season one, but just start with season two. There's so much going on there. And then, but like season three, after one, after another, I think we've talked about this. Like my tear ducts are just empty.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Recently,
left
I don't feel like it started strong. I feel like it's gotten stronger.
The one that was in the theater, man. No offense, I'm glad I didn't go to the movie theater to see it. Like, I'm sure the experience.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm sure that the experience was like cool just to see that.
We went to the
theater
and watched it.
Yeah, I saw you guys review that.
And
part,
so
man.
Yeah,
we weren't thrilled about it, but we did.
And we've got
the time you went. We got by the killer, bro. To be honest.
But anyway, I do think that there have been a lot of highlights in this season. You know, we've gotten a lot of stories out of the Bible. This past episode, we get our introduction to Pilate and Pilate's wife, and we get the dream sequence, which is I didn't know what that was at first. You know, I was like, "What's going on? There's a snake and all this." And so, what do you guys think about the seeing Pontius's wife, the dream, the snake?
I'm sure it will unravel itself later, but I was just like, all right, come on. Like I'm
get back to Jesus.
Dude, man, when you end on such a peak moment, I know that you guys talked about this last time, but man, that was too much packed in one. Serious.
Preach. Can we get come that on. In? Say that louder
get
in the
Get the
back.
Organ. Get the organ. Yeah, something like that. But man, I just felt like, because you have this these two high peak moments, and now you're gonna come in.
Yes.
Like it's like, oh, come on, man.
So I'm gonna pull up the comments. Why did you think that it was too much?
I just felt like the.
We're going back to episode 5.
Oh yeah, dude.
Yeah, I don't care.
We're the segue.
Just ride with
That's
us.
That's why
here,
he brought
guys.
Me on here, bro.
On the dream. Now we went regressed backwards.
Yeah.
Rewind.
Yeah, that's right.
Five back to five.
I mean, obviously the Raising of the Dead is like a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I just felt like it could have been separate. I just felt like there could have been so much more for like my face to just relax after the whole pushing through the crowd, man. I just felt like that moment, it was just like the raising of the daughter. That was cool. Don't get me wrong. And that's still powerful. But man, just that moment of just seeing her and just saying, man, if I could just, you know, touch the hem. And I know that you mentioned this before, but they said that that's the promise that like that whoever wore it, it was a symbol of their obedience. That's where those knots came from. So she could just hold, touch his obedience.
Yeah.
She could be healed. And I'm like, man, they could have went into so much more just after that. Oh, yeah. You know, the daughter part, just him calling her daughter, and they could have just like kind of highlighted, you know, just her after, you know, it was cool how they went all and washed afterwards. That was cool. They could have just went from her getting healed and then gone to the whole everyone going to get jump in the water. And I would be cool with that. And then they could have like kind of elaborated again on this episode.
Yeah.
For the raising of the daughter.
They split the episode into two parts already.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, make the woman with the issue of blood, make that the end of clean part one.
Yeah.
And make him walking into Jairus's house, Jairus, part two, you know?
Yeah.
Start
on that. Start on a huge peak.
I'm just saying. So anyway, so we shared this on the last episode. The hate was real, bro. The hate was real.
Oh, no.
We should put the comments on the screen.
I wish
later.
I'll have to put them on the screen if I can, if I have the time. Are you serious? If you read Mark 5, it says, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the woman with the issue of blood was there. And then verse 38, it says, Jairus' daughter. It's really cool that they're right together. They have to be together. Have to be. I disagree with your critique 100%. The two miracles basically happened simultaneously. Therefore, they had to put the same miracles in the same episode. There's no other way around it. I just shared how there was another way around it, by the way.
And if you want to be nitpicky, like, and I brought this up when we reviewed that episode, simultaneously, it's a little bit of a stretch.
Yes.
Because we really don't know how long that walk was. He was on his way to the daughter's house, right? Yeah. But it doesn't say, was it a 2-hour walk? Was it a half a day walk? Mm-hmm. Was it just a block away?
And I've got like 20 more comments.
We don't know. Like in the episode, it looked like it was just down the street from, you know, the issue of blood, and then he's there in, you know, a less than a 2-minute walk. He's now at the house with the daughter, but we don't know that. I mean, there could have been a much longer walk than that.
Yeah, and again, this is the nitpickiest of nitpicks, right?
Sure,
so don't think that I don't like The Chosen because of this. I was overwhelmed by the first miracle, and then the second miracle.
You wanted time to chew on it,
and then they rushed to episode 6, and I was telling this to you guys. He's just performing miracles left and right. He's like, you're blind. He's like pulling them all together. You got a mute guy who's talking now. You got
okay. And in case you're paying attention, now we're back on episode 6.
I appreciate Kevin sort of ordering the steps here. So Jesus is in a big circle and he's healing everybody. And then eventually he gets to Barnabas and his friend. And she's blind. She's been blind for 10 years, and he heals that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before you rewind all that, though, so we spend all this time on these two biblical miracles.
Yeah.
And then we gloss over. So this is like Jesus healed all. Like, this is the scripture we're dealing with in this situation, right?
Sure.
Jesus healed all. And so we're seeing what all looks like. It's all the time. Yeah. It's everybody. You know. But the fact, they had this little conversation in the hallway, like, I don't know what's better, watching the miracles or watching the faces of the Sadducees when they see it or whatever. Yeah. You know? And to me, that's sort of what I was feeling like. I like the miracles, but I don't know which is better, watching all the miracles or watching the miracles one at a time slowly, because I need some space.
I'm a one at a time. As far as that comment goes, dear person, we love you.
Yeah.
But if you're going to say that, then they did break off the season at the Sermon on the Mount and start on the new sermon. So like they made that into two parts. So come on, man. We they could have broke it up. What I think is just so cool about it, if it is broken up, is it becomes a tool, you know, to share that scene with somebody that you know that it would really impact, you know, because
it's all impactful.
It's all impactful, but I'm just like, it's like, oh, hey, you're dealing with this. Hey, you should check out this episode, and just this clip. But man,
and before we get any more hate, by the way,
I'm with y'all. I'm glad it was on both episodes. I'm glad both of them. Just because I'm the impatient person. This was like a, yeah, it was emotional.
Should
high.
They kill Jesus next but episode
no,
too?
But I was like, I didn't want to wait. I wanted to see the raising of the dead. I wanted to see the reaction of Peter, James, and John. I wanted to see the looks on their faces. I wanted to see that. I didn't want to wait. I was very excited. I was like the dad, like, come on, she's just down this way.
She's fine.
And yeah, so
you can follow Kevin on all social media.
Yeah, that's right. Well, so I understand, but I'm also like, at your point, like, for those that really made
he raised a woman from a girl from the dead.
Yeah. This is the first raising.
Yes, that's
of
what
dead.
I'm saying. It was too important of a thing to be smushed together next to some other
one. I was excited to see it.
Of course. That's my point.
I didn't want to wait. I'm more excited for the Lazarus raising of the dead versus this one.
A lot of people think that's not going to happen until way farther down the road. That's
apparently, because I think that we saw just got done reviewing and talking about. Which you can see on the other video, us talking about the trailer for the last two episodes, and we did not see. I didn't see Lazarus, the character.
Yeah, we may not even see him again.
So, my theory on that being the final thing that we see at the end of the season is probably not going to take place.
Yeah. So X for yeah. Kevin potentially. What? Fine. What did you guys think? So in the middle of that scene we were just talking about from episode 6, we're in.
Yeah.
Where he's got the big circle and he's doing a bunch of miracles back to back. And then the apostles of John the Baptist show up and we see scripture play out where he says, go tell him that I am who is here. Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Eyes are.
Yeah. And so that is not how I didn't think we were going to get to that. I thought to me in my mind, like that was something that happened off screen, much like the baptism and, some of the other things that like him in the wilderness, Jesus in the wilderness. Like we don't get to see any of that, that happened off screen prior to, us meeting Jesus in this show. So I wasn't expecting that to go down. I don't know how you guys thought about that scene or is that sort of how you expected it to play out?
I didn't expect it to play out like that.
Why
I just feel like it's way late for the whole John thing. I felt maybe it's just to me, like from just reading the Bible, that I feel like the John thing happened so fast. Exactly. Like he was already by now his head's already gone.
Yeah, why is he so?
Sorry,
long?
spoiler alert. If you have only been watching The Chosen and you haven't read the Bible, John loses his head.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was more than a season ago when they sat together on the beach or whatever, and and they embrace and John. Walks away from Jesus, and Jesus like gives that look like, I know I'm not going to see you again, brother, or whatever, but
we are a whole season later. And
they must have changed, because I remember at the end of season 2, interviews with Dallas, and they talked about, the actor, and there was playing John the Baptist and stuff, and that he was going to be back in like the first couple of episodes of season 3, and that would be the end of him. And I think that was, so who knows? Like, I'm with you. I thought at the beginning of the season we would see the end of John, his storyline, and maybe see him in prison.
I'm telling you, I think we're gonna hear it. I think he's gonna get a news. John's head's gone, and you're gonna see Jesus slump or something. And
sure. Well, you think that'll happen in the next two episodes?
That's what I'm trying to predict an ending other than the loaves and fishes. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, some sort of dramatic cliffhanger.
I could see that. That would be a good one. I could see that. That's possible. But
the whole question is
that they were going to bring that actor back.
It would certainly
be a down.
Certainly be a down.
They told that actor he was coming back for this season. So,
they may have changed their mind. We've seen him already.
No, the guy that plays John the Baptist?
Yes, we've seen him twice.
Didn't they show
Andrew went to talk to him in jail with Joanna. That's what Joanna. And then they saw in the first, and we saw him just sitting in prison in some other time. So, we've seen him a couple times. Keep up with the show.
I know, that was what was that?
People are watching us.
Was that in the first two episodes?
Yeah,
that's why. Because the
woman blocked that. Yeah, you blocked all that.
No, it was fine.
Because Joanna shows up, and Joanna's the one they were talking about in episode 6, who's funding the girls' ministry. For
I knew who they were talking about. Yeah, but we didn't. Yeah. So anyway, I do want to talk about all these miracles. Like you had touched on, season 5 episode. Episode 5.
Yep.
Season 3, episode 5, these two big miracles and how they were so emotional and gut-wrenching and you just wanted time to chew on things. And then you get to all these other miracles and you're kind of like, well, why, there was too many too fast or something. It was maybe kind of your complaint, or you can get a chance. Like now it was like a machine gun of miracles,
Especially because the one of them was raising someone from the dead.
Right. Well, that's no. I mean, but there, we're talking about
specifically, he yes. raised a person from the dead, yeah. and it was an afterthought.
No, no,
to
no.
The...
I'm talking about season six now. So the miracles. Episode six. Or, I mean, episode six. I'm doing what you were doing earlier.
Yeah.
Now, episode six. What, like, all those miracles? It seemed to me like you were maybe unhappy they didn't get their due. They didn't get the enough attention or shine, or they were going too fast. Like that, it was almost. Too many
I'm saying
miracles
we can't once. We can't make our mind up about what we want.
Oh, okay.
Do we want to focus an entire season on a miracle?
I will tell you why.
Okay.
Okay. I'm so interested. Here's what I think that Dallas did it the way he did it, because that if you read the Gospels, there are times that is very similar accounts of miracles. Sometimes they're just quick, like Jesus healed many. They brought this, you know. Many were healed. There are a lot of they don't go into such detail and depth on every single miracle Jesus did for all the crowded people.
He said they healed all who came to him.
Correct. So this is the scene in episode six where it was more depicting on what it would have been like. So similar to the last season when they're around and you saw the line of people and Jesus is ministering to them all and what it might have been like with a crowd of people and constantly praying for the sick and he's exhausted and goes back to camp and he can just barely walk. I think this is another kind of snapshot or, you know, the eye of the people in the crowd, what it would have looked like as Jesus is ministering to the masses and doing many miracles as the Bible talked about. But now going back to episode five, of course you're going to spend more time building up those characters, their backstories, and making them, because even the scripture itself seems to amplify those two particular people, amplify those stories as the gospel writers, opposed to just healing mutes and healing. Not that one was better than the other. It's just because of illustrations and because of spiritual principles that the word wanted to teach us, they amplified those stories more than episode six stories.
Here's my take. So I agree with you, Tis. I think that the main reason why they did that is because, one, the zealots were watching, and two, John's followers. So I think that the reason why they did that is because if he that whole verse where he says that the lame walk, the blind see, you know, if those didn't happen right before our eyes, they could have just said, oh, it was just one miracle that they saw. Yep. But it was like one of those moments that, hey, I'm not only going to show you one thing that Jesus is doing, all these things. And I think the cool thing about it is it made it like, man, it was so easy. It's so easy for Jesus to perform a miracle.
Yeah.
You know, although I'm still kind of weird about the whole, like, he looks up. I don't really get that part. But, hey, that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother day.
I thought it was the John having a little doubt, a little lack of faith. That's not how I ever read the Bible. That's not my takeaway was never that, like, John was sort of doubting this whole Jesus thing. I feel like he was all in on this. And to hear that phrase, even though it's from scripture, it's like, I don't know if it would have played out like that. He's in his jail cell wondering if this is Messiah, even though he knows, like, Andrew was there talking to him in the prison cell, and he's like, well, I feel like Andrew already sort of explained what Jesus was doing, and, like, I don't know, it's just
was coming from him, like, going to Nazareth, and he said, you quoted the scripture that captives are set free, and he said, you know, that was, like, almost the reason why John sent him, like, hold on a second, Jesus, you were just saying this, you came to set the captives free, and here I am, I'm locked in a cell.
Right.
You know, so I just...
Which, again, is like, that part is not in scripture, like, John the Baptist did not say, I'm stuck in prison, why haven't you gotten me out of here yet, you know, so I don't know.
As a teacher of the word, that is a tough story in the Gospels to explain or to even digest. And I don't know if anybody really, maybe when we finally get to, you know, stand in heaven and meet him, and you find out and ask the Lord, you know, what was this about exactly? Because there's a lot of theories, and we can, you know, wonder. I've talked about this before, and I want to keep talking about it, even though it irritates a lot of religious people. These disciples, including John the Baptist, they had not been born again or redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus had not died on the cross. Yes, they put their trust in him. They believed he was the Messiah, but their expectation was he was going to sit on the throne of David and overthrow Rome. Mm-hmm. I don't know if John the Baptist, if his expectation was, why am I in prison? Why hasn't the fight started? Why haven't we overthrown? Why am I not out here? And, you know, the enemy, the number one enemy, it's, if you read, go back to Genesis chapter 2, you know, the enemy going to Eve and saying, are you sure God said? Are you sure God said that if you eat the fruit, you were... That is the number one tactic the devil always... Are you sure this is what God meant? Are you sure he's the Messiah? Are you sure he's the one? Because he's not meeting your expectations. You're not seeing the things that you thought were going to happen when he showed up. So are you sure? And so, you know, and even the disciples there, very few there. I don't know why you picked me. I'm not a soldier. I'm not, you know, I'm not this. I'm like, why would, you know, where's the army? Why aren't we throwing out the Romans yet? And you hear a lot of these, they sprinkle a lot of this dialogue in these last three seasons, which I love, because that is exactly the mindset of all the Jews. We're expecting the Messiah to show up to set up God's kingdom and sit on the throne of David. So is that part of, could that be part of why John the Baptist sent? Maybe it was that John the Baptist people were the ones that were really doubting. And he was just like, why don't you go ask him for me?
Yeah.
Why don't you go ask him yourself? Go see. Maybe he already knew and he was solid in his faith, but it was an invitation for the people that were with him to settle their...
That's a deep thought there.
To settle their fears. I don't know.
I don't know if John the Baptist really was like that in depth, because I think that if he knew that he never would have saw Jesus again, like Jesus knew that he never saw, we probably had a different reaction in that scene. John the Baptist would have been like really along. I mean, that's his cousin. I mean, you know, they have more connection. Like, and I just, I just feel like this was a moment of doubt, and this was a way for them to be like, hey, confirming, not only for him, but for the Zealots.
Yeah.
Because, dude, that the Zealot scene was super, that was dope for me. Like, I love that. You know, it's like all these guys, they're ready to come and take him out. And then he was just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to tell him that you did die, because the old him's gone.
Yeah, the new Simon. Yes, I was like, the new Simon.
Let's go, new Simon.
It shows what... And again, this just to give some kudos to what God is doing through this team who's making The Chosen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Dallas. It's everybody who's got a hand in writing this or whatever. They're taking on an amazing task, right? Mm-hmm. To take the Bible and bring it to life. And, like, we can sit here and nitpick, like, is this how I would have done it? I can't do it. I'm not the one who's been – I haven't done it. And so
we can critique.
I can critique it. I can say this is how I, you know, I didn't like this part. But ultimately, it does come down to, I am so thankful that they're making the show. I am so thankful that it's going well. I am so thankful that people are getting born again, set free, that it's bringing the Bible off the page and into people's hearts, and it's setting people, you know – hopefully the faith that stirs up in people because they watch this show, they take it out into their universe, and and it's doing things that we'll never hear about of this show. And so whether or not we feel like it's 100% right, or it doesn't matter. We're talking about it because we love it. We're talking about it because we care about it, and we want other people to care about it. And hopefully a show like this will do that for people. So
it'll draw people in, man. I believe that they've drawn in a lot of people to just wanting to know more truth. It's like, you know, when you see something like, oh, was that exactly how it went? Well, there's one way to find out. Read for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I think if anything, it's caused people to dive in deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love it. I love the show, because I've had so many shows that I used to watch and I'm like, oh, well, now it's discontinued. But like with this, you're like, no, I know that it's going to continue to go on. You know, Lord's, like you guys have said, like, Lord's definitely on this.
Yeah, before I met Jesus, I loved to talk about Lost and all these different shows that were on for all these years. And I, you know, couldn't get in.
Heroes.
Heroes was another one. It's like,
get him started on Heroes. He's so mad at Heroes.
The message boards back then. I just stopped after season two. It's fine. It's fine. Just pretending that the rest of it didn't happen.
Alphas. Check out Alphas.
So all these shows that I could dive in and talk about for hours and days of my life, you know. And to finally have something about God and Jesus that I'm as invested in, I'm so thankful for that, because let's keep going.
Actors too, man. The actors are just, dude, they are so good, bro. So believable, you know. Like, they embody these characters. Like, I mean, at least from what, whenever I visualize, like, I, you know.
They're relatable. That's it. Whether Peter was really like that or Matthew was really sort of autistic, who knows? Who cares? The whole thing is about, you know, bringing scripture and bringing spiritual principles and what it might have been like in the life of the disciples and walking with the Messiah and the challenges they went through, because they're not any different than we are today. Yes, this took place 2,000 years ago, but we can still relate to the same things that Jesus was teaching them. People think, oh, the Bible's so outdated. Yeah. How many, you know, atheistic or, you know, people, agnostics or whatever, you know, secular people, one of the arguments of why they don't go to church and oh, it's so, but yeah. This just proves it's not outdated. This is eternal. This is just as relatable to us today, and we are connecting with people in a lifestyle and in a way that they didn't have iPads, they didn't have sneakers, they weren't, you know, that, and but we can still identify with these characters and these storylines that took place 2,000 years ago as if it just happened to us. And that's powerful. That is bridging this 2,000 year gap that seemingly no other Christian idea or, you know, show, movie has really been able to do. You watch this stuff and you think it's a historical documentary, not like, oh, I get it. Like that happened to me yesterday.
Yeah, it brings it to life. Feeling. Now you mentioned not the iPads. That's how I want to leave it. What are you guys thinking? So when they showed these guys in their pajamas, did you see these guys in pajamas? This guy breaks in through the window. And he's like, the guy breaks in. There's a scene when this guy breaks in the window. He's got a knife, and they're like, they've just been sharpening all their knives. And Judas and Andrew and them get up from the middle of their sleep, and they're like, "Who are you?" And they're like, he's like, "I'm one of John's followers. There's two guys at the door who want to go talk to Jesus or whatever." And they're all standing there in their pajamas.
Their pajamas don't look much different than their regular clothes. It's like,
their pajamas, they look like they were wearing a dress or something. It was like a mini skirt these guys had on, with like sleeveless mini skirts. You guys, you don't even remember the scene I'm talking about.
I do,
about.
But yeah. Well, I don't really remember the costumes.
It was
so. He doesn't remember the clothes.
I was
either.
Like, what are they wearing, y'all? I was.
I didn't. It did not jump. Their costumes did not jump out at me.
This
was
the first time watching it. I was like, "This." I mean, that probably was what they were wearing. I'm sure they've looked into it, but it was just alarming to see these guys in their little mini skirts or whatever, you know.
I think there's just so many different things that I've tried to like. Just I was trying to understand and still trying to process. Like I'm still trying to figure out what went on with Mary in the chest and Judas's chest, and then she grabbed something like.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we'll figure that out later. That's what Dale says. He's like, remember these are shows. We're not going to reveal everything at once. We're gonna show you one thing, and then we'll see it later. Same thing that happened with the bridal thing that he pulled out with his dad or whatever. You know, that's going to allude to something later on. So
yeah, that's something I was going to bring up is the whole idea, because I think they've already alluded to that Mary knows that Jesus is going to go to the cross. You know, because when he went to go stay with her for the last time, or in the house at seemingly, and you know, he's like, it's not time yet. She's like, oh, it's coming soon. And there was this heaviness. There was this sad heaviness because he knew this day was coming soon. She knew. And I thought a lot about that in that scene. And I thought, I don't know. Like, does
I don't think so.
I don't know if anyone other than Christ himself, than Jesus himself, knew he was going to the cross.
Not until he started telling people.
Right, well, even when he told them, they didn't get it.
Okay,
it went right over that. That's when. But I mean, this is his mother. I get it. And John, whether John the Baptist and Mary, two, you know, family, cousin, mother, do they know that this is why he's really come to die for our sins, for the sins of the world? Or do they still not also get it? My suspicion is that they probably didn't get it until it was I don't think they even knew. I think it would have been a burden if the father, if the Gabriel would have told you, yes, you're going to bear the Messiah, but by the way, you know, you're going to have to watch him die the most brutal death. The world, like, I think, I mean, that's why God doesn't tell us everything. Like, he gives you a piece and says, I need you to do this for me. He doesn't tell you how long it might take. He doesn't tell you all the obstacles you're going to have to go through. He doesn't tell you some of the pain, the crocodile tears you're going to shed to see his will come to pass. He just gives you the ending. It's going to be great. Don't worry. You know, I need you to do this. And I think that's Mary just said, look, I'm going to bear the Messiah. God asked me to do this, and this is going to be awesome. And the disciples, hey, come follow me. The kingdom of God's at hand. Great, let's do it. And John the Baptist, I just know that God's given me, I'm the forerunner and the spirit of Elijah, and repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. These are great messages, and I don't know if any of them had a clue how this was going to end.
And they alluded, not alluded, they showed these guys outside a pilot's bedroom window getting crucified. I feel like we sort of glossed over this for a minute. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we get this scene. I don't know if it was last season or when, but Jesus is walking into the city and he sees the cross, and you know, and he sort of alludes to like hanging on the cross there. They linger on the shot for a minute, you know. And now we've got people actually getting crucified. Again, this talks to we just raised somebody from the dead, and it's sort of the afterthought of that episode.
And then we go
and now we're seeing somebody crucified, and it's sort of like this just.
But that's how it was. It was very public.
But not for us as a viewer. For us as a viewer, this is the first time we're seeing it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, and it's just sort of like we hear a guy outside. Like I feel like it'd be a little more.
But, I like that she said, even said like, why crucifying? You know, it was just like one of those things, like. You know.
That's what I think it's the reason that they put it in the casual, like it was too casual for you, is because I think in that time period it was that casual, the public executions. Like to us, the idea of a public execution is something. I mean, we, you know, even those in prison now, it's like only certain people can, you know, view this thing. Like we don't witness those things anymore.
Yep. They did say stoning people, but like that was like, oh, you know, the cost for this, like. Can you imagine just like how often if they do like a like that, like if they roll over like that, like they did the crucifixion, like just people being stoned?
Yeah,
that would be kind of weird. That's why I think that's kind of weird about the crucifixion part of this and the beginning of coming off of people just being raised from the dead.
Yeah.
So how shocked were you that they put Pilate in this episode, Pontius Pilate?
Well, I think what they're doing, they're introducing next season's characters, right? So like they've done this the last couple seasons. We saw Atticus for a minute, you know. Uh-huh. We've seen Quintus for the end of season one. We're meeting Quintus.
So I did not expect to see Pontius Pilate at all.
Well, not this early, obviously.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I'm saying, but they're alluding to things. They got to build these stories lines up.
So, but you see the dream.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this episode, which I was shocked that they introduced this dream so early. So this dream does not even come into scripture until Jesus is about to be brought before Pilate. And, you know, that says that Pilate's wife had these dreams, and she goes to Pilate and says, have nothing to do with this righteous man. Like, I've had dreams and you don't want to mess with this. Like, she tries to warn him. And so they bring this dream up. In season three, and I did not at all. Like, I was like, I can't believe that, you know, they're already showing this dream that she's having, and she's, you
know, I think
know,
one of many to it. See, you know.
Yeah, so yeah, well, like, I guess so. And to build it up that early on, and then
well, I think
just the casting of Pilate, I was a little surprised.
Why? Because he's a little younger and...
Younger and just...
Nice.
No. He didn't seem
For real, that scene where they went out and he meets him,
Atticus,
and they're just like, oh, you know, no, I want them to find God. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, well, hold on, dude, you're not supposed to be this guy to me. You're supposed to be like this dude that, you know.
Well, that's how, unfortunately, a lot of Christian teachers have painted Pilate, is this bloodthirsty, like, dictator kind of, but I think even if you read the scriptures, like, Pilate really didn't want to crucify him.
I always felt
like he didn't. Well, but he did. Well, that's what I get at. Like, it's like, you're that type of guy.
I've always read him as
he did because he had to, because it had to fulfill scripture.
That.
He had to go to the cross.
Well,
and that's Jesus says, you don't have any power except for the power that my Father has given you.
Yeah.
You have no power to crucify me except for what my Father has given you. So you're not all that in a baggage. Like, I'm doing this because I'm laying my own life down. So don't like, so even, but the church doesn't see that. The church, oh my gosh, Pilate, you know, and, or the Jews killed him. And really, we all killed him. It was our sin that did it. The Jews didn't really put him to death. Pilate didn't put him to death. We all put him to death.
I just think he was overly nice.
Yeah.
We did get introduced to him like 5 seconds after we saw him crucifying two guys. So I mean,
super nice. We had to. Well, I'm just saying, like, that's the thing. It's like you show him as like this. Oh, we have to do it this way. We have to crucify these people. And then he's over here and it's like, oh yeah, I don't want them to find God. I'm like, bro, like what?
He just didn't. I didn't mind this nice part. He just didn't come kind of like a seasoned like politician, like a governor might be. Like, look, I'm the governor. I have a lot of responsibility on my shoulders. I'm like, he just gonna be like, yeah, just, you know, hanging out, just, you know, let's have some grapes
too early.
Yeah.
Too early.
I was surprised.
Yeah, I think there's what has to happen though is they have to introduce a flock of people to get this whole story told.
Yeah.
You know, and they wanted, what they're trying to do, at least this is what I feel like, my perspective of it, they're trying to give depth to these characters, you know? So let us see a relationship build out between Pilate and his wife, so that when he does this, and she's really like, no, don't do this. Like, we're sort of on her side a little bit more than just, you know, seeing her one time and feeling like she really understands what's going on, you know. Maybe like Quintus or Atticus, like, we'll see her interact with Jesus a few times and, like, see him do things and, like, feel like she's almost on the edge of, like, getting saved herself. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of like that kind of relationship we'll see spread out. But a little too early. But it's good. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, that was cool how they blasted Quintus, though.
Oh, yeah, Quintus is like, oh, yeah, this bro's out the door. I don't know what's going to happen with him.
Let's get rid of this dude.
Well, if Jesus ever leaves the city, we might not see him for a minute.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
It looks like we're stuck here in Tent City for at least two more episodes until... But
speaking of, though, like, the whole husband-wife thing, can we just start talking about this whole Eden-Simon moment? Can we get into that right now?
Go ahead.
I related to that moment so much. Where, like, I was like, dude, I apologize. And I didn't even know what I was apologizing for. Mm-hmm. I just like, you're not telling me anything. Honey, when you're watching this, I'm not saying that. But it's like, it's
relatable.
She's not going
to get this far into
it. Yeah, no, she'll get into it. But it's like relatable. It's like, man, like, we've had these moments where, you know, us as men, it became really relatable for me with Simon just being like, oh my gosh, like, yes, I know what you're talking about. He needs to know. Just tell him, you know, tell him what happened, you know, maybe he can relate. Like, he can't read your mind. But yeah.
Yeah.
I even went to a Roman.
Yeah, I went to a Roman. I've asked all my guy friends about this. I know you're mad. I don't know why. Yeah. You know, if a woman says everything's fine, it's not.
It's not. It's not at all.
Right.
But yeah,
I took a nap. You told me to take a nap.
Yeah, I know, right? He's like, you're the one that told me to take the nap.
That hits too close to home. I didn't do the dishes because you didn't tell me.
I didn't know you wanted me to. I thought you should have just known.
Speak
like,
it out
what?
To us.
Oh,
woman.
My gosh.
Speak
that was like a, come on. Well, I was waiting for the organ to kick in. I was like, come on, Simon. I know exactly how you're feeling, man.
Yeah.
It was so real, though. I liked the scene because, you know, I was still wondering how, like, what does this have to do, this whole story? You know, and I'm sure eventually it will have some connection to why. Yeah.
They've done a good job interwining all of the side stories with our biblical stories, right? So, for whatever reason it is, it's going to be good. I think it's going to be meaningful to, like you said, many women and families who have dealt with this kind of issue. Same as like with Kevin, we talked about little James. You know, people can relate to this story. We got a lot of comments about people who were like, a lot of people watch the little James videos that we have because I think it's just a thing that people are dealing with. Like, I have this infirmity. Kevin talked about this, like, this sort of idea that like. Bad things are happening even though I'm following Jesus, and you know, it sort of tells us that our faith isn't working or whatever, and it gets in our head these little seeds of doubt or whatever. So I love these stories because they're going to help people get over those types of thoughts and help them conquer those fear demons that are surrounding them, you know,
and genuine questions, like, you know, just there's tough questions out there, and that's what, unfortunately, some teachers and preachers and pastors will avoid. That's why people water down the scriptures and say, well, Jesus heals, but he doesn't heal everybody. Or Jesus may not want you, or, you know, maybe you got that to humble
it's not
you
God's will.
You know, yeah, it's not God, that's lazy theology, because they don't it's okay to say, you know what, I don't get it always either, like, but I'm just
sovereignty of God.
But I know God's will is for you to be healed. Why you're not healed, I don't know every answer to all that. There are hard questions, but we can't water down God's heart and God's will and say, well, you know, God just giving you sicknesses or a disease because he's trying to humble you or some. That's ridiculous. That's that's terrible to tell someone that. It is never God's will for someone to die prematurely or for someone to have a miscarriage or for someone to still work in pain and with an illness or a disease or disability. I don't believe that for one minute that's a Father's perfect will.
Do you think then that this whole storyline of this part is like more of the miscarriage or just like, hey, the problems that people face in marriage?
Well, I definitely think it's both. Like, you know, it's like they wanted to show some conflict between Eden and Peter, right? So they're trying to figure out, well, how do we do this, right? Like, does it have to be miscarriage? No, but also, like, miscarriage is another thing we can talk to. I think is they are trying to tell the stories of the Bible. This is production is also their own ministry. It's like, how can we share what God has shared with us about whatever the subject is in a way that helps people. And so,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you think like it's more of a to address like an issue of like, hey, a lot of marriages, mm-hmm. you know, end divorce because of the communication issue, and they have like these moments where, hey, you know, woman lost a baby, and then all of a sudden the husband wasn't there the way that she thought he should have been there, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, I can't get over this, and then it ends. So is this like a, you know, is this Dallas and them trying to use that, hey, like this is a ministering opportunity?
That's
to,
what
like,
I think.
Minister
I think
to
anytime,
a marriage,
anytime
like,
they're adding
not
to
just
this.
The one, but yeah,
always a ministry opportunity. But I don't know if it's going to be due to marriage. I think it might be over. I think that if they were going to pick something that being tension in their marriage. You could have picked a lot of other.
They could have just picked him being gone all the
time.
That's
exactly right. Yeah. You're neglecting me. You're not giving enough attention. Or you're off
with
the boys.
But they had that.
All the time. Yeah.
They did have
they
that.
They did
though.
That.
Whenever she
But they could have just left it at that. Made that, you know.
Yeah. They could
have
just gotten worse.
Miscarriage,
you know, like. I think it is to deal with tragedy. Yeah. I think it is that they're responding. I think they both of them are going to. And I think John had. Whether we got this on the video or not. Where, you know, John was talking about. Peter's reaction to the tragedy he didn't like. And I think that's probably because I know John well enough to know that his response would have been different than Peter's. So he didn't like Peter's response in it because he'd be like, well, I wouldn't have done that. I would have marched right out there to Jesus and said, what's going on? You know, instead of the dialogue that they had written. But everybody reacts differently to and responds differently to a sudden tragedy or loss mm-hmm. in our lives, even as Christians. Because just because you get born again does not mean that bad things and tragedies aren't going to happen. I mean, we live in a fallen world, and the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy you. He is not going to give you a free run up the middle. He is going to throw everything at you to try to stop you, destroy you, and dishearten you. And unfortunately, and if it's not the devil, it's going to be people.
Now that I think about that moment about her getting upset, I wonder if she was pregnant and that's why she was upset for him leaving, because they hooked up before that part, right?
Yeah,
that's so
she would have known.
So maybe she knew, and that's why she was like, oh yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't know they weren't very clear on the timeline, so they weren't clear on the timeline, but the timeline is for The Chosen to air this weekend in theaters, and also the 5th, on Sunday the 5th, so a week from Sunday. It'll air on our apps for the first time. So hopefully you guys are catching up on The Chosen and on this show, talking about all the different things Chosen. We will be back to talk about episodes 7 and 8 sometime soon. So catch that episode, guys. Thanks for watching today. Thanks for Freedom for being here, bro.
Yeah, man. Thank you. It was an honor being here.
Kevin Eskew, all our links to follow us are in the description. That's what we call this thing, right? The description.
Below.
Yeah, the description below. So thanks for watching today's episode, guys. Until next time, we pray you discover a future and a hope for your life today.